Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. We'll start with a story titled City Council Tables Amendments to Rental Property Ordinance. Landlords, Property Managers Express Concerns. And this is written by Kayla White. At Tuesday's City Council meeting, alderpersons, residents, and corporate council discussed specific changes to the City Code Chapter 163, which would have offered tenants more protection from retaliation by landlords in the event of the tenant filed a complaint with city inspectors. The vote was ultimately tabled until the May 6th council meeting so that the Public Services Committee can meet April 22nd and make some changes to proposed amendments. Among those changes, Vice Mayor Tricia Teague said should be the addition of a clause requiring the city to notify both tenants and property owners of the full details of violations of city code. As it stands, only owners are informed of the full details of code violations, such as garbage toters being left on the curb too long or broken down vehicles being left to deteriorate on properties in view of the street. Teague, a landlord herself, said those notices could take much longer to arrive in the hands of the landlords depending on where the property owner lives. She also advocated for tenants to be able to take part in making necessary changes should their lease dictate they do or should they wish to. Corporate counsel Leon Parker disagreed with Teague on this matter, saying only owners need to be informed of violations. It's much easier for the landlord. You know who your tenants are. You provide them a copy, and now you know they got it instead of the city being the go-between for you and your tenant and getting involved and negotiating with your tenant or maybe talking to them about repairs that needed to be done, Parker said. Respectfully, that's what the landlord does. Well, then, respectfully, I'll vote on the thing that I spent hours and months revising because the issue needs to be resolved and it falls short of resolving all of the issues in a fair way without that notification to the tenants, Teague said. So if it gets voted down, then we'll bring it back again in a different way and we'll add it later. But respectfully, this is a big problem. Jerry Hawker, a member of the Vermilion County Board and of the Danville Area Landlords Association known as DALA, spoke in defense of both tenants and landlords, claiming internal inspections were a violation of tenant rights, while asking the council why they hadn't consulted the DALA or area landlords regarding proposed changes. For the last almost 25 years, there has not been one ordinance relating to landlords that the Danville Area Landlords Association was not involved in, or at least talk to, Hawker said. We still really don't know what you're voting on tonight because just a few minutes ago they finally showed me where the resolution that you're talking about tonight is, Hawker said. So I think that's really disheartening because we have been involved all the way along, but you absolutely said nothing about this one. Several landlords and property managers also spoke against making changes to the city's code regarding protecting tenants from retaliation. Adam Sturr, co-owner of RC Management, a property management company that manages and owns around 1,800 rental properties across Danville, spoke on behalf of property managers and owners in his public comment. The average rental property is financed through a bank. Some folks own them outright, but most people have them financed, Sturr said. The average rental property per year profits around $1,000 a year. That's what you bring home when the year is done, $1,000. He went on to say that despite only profiting $1,000 a year, the average city interior inspection costs a landlord between $300 to $500 to make necessary changes and repairs, while it costs around $1,800 to tear down a garage that has been deemed beyond repair. for each letter landlords receive from the city informing them of violations, they will pay around $200 to remedy those violations. There's no profit there. I have owners that are leaving town. He began before his 3 minutes of the podium ran out. In his public comment, landlord Aaron Troglia brought up his concerns over what would happen to tenants who file fraudulent claims should the amendments be passed as they are. What happens if it's found that the tenant's complaint is a fraudulent and frivolous? Are there repercussions on the tenant? There are large fines to landlords who are found guilty, but no consequences for tenants found in the wrong. Tenants could bring false claims with no consequences and waste everyone's time, Troglia said. Resident David Taylor read a letter on behalf of two landlords who could not attend the meeting, including Jane Caden, who said after renting out properties in Danville for 15 years, she is nearly ready to sell. The increase in property taxes, sewer fees, permitting fees, and now the increase in rental registration is starting to make Danville an unattractive investment market, which will start to make it an unaffordable rental market, she wrote. I'm not sure if the city council understands, but any increase in fees will be passed down to the tenants. A prudent investor will not absorb these costs, she said. She added, like Teague, she also argued for the city sending violation notices directly to tenants. Teague suggested submitting the current amendments to the city chapter 163 to DALA and other landlords for their comments and suggestions to help the council make changes ahead of the April 22nd Public Service Committee meeting. And there's a picture of RC Management owner Adam Sir speaks during the public comment section of the city's Tuesday City Council meeting. Sir spoke on behalf of landlords, saying the average landlord only profits $1,000 a year on an average after paying mortgage, insurance, property taxes, and necessary maintenance and repairs for rentals. Next story is titled, New Elected Officials Ready to Work, and again written by Kegla White. Polls closed all across Vermilion County at 7 p.m. Tuesday night in the 2025 municipal elections, giving four communities across the county new leadership and representation. Residents of three wards in the city of Danville have chosen their new representatives. Jay Lee Jones was selected as alderman of Ward 1, beating out incumbent Robert Williams by just 20 votes. Jones's win comes as a final victory in a saga that began in late 2024 when then Alderman Darren York of Ward 7 submitted an objection to Jones's petition paperwork. In two separate hearings, Jones was won the chance to run for alderman after it was determined that York's objection was invalid because he is not a resident of Ward 1. To the voters who put their trust in me, I'm honored and humbled to serve as your next alderman. The victory isn't just mine, it's ours, Jones said after his win. it's a reflection of the voices that too often go unheard, the neighborhoods that deserve more attention, and the future we all want to build together right here in Danville. Jones went on to thank his opponent, saying he was grateful for Williams's service and dedication to our community, asking that he looks forward to building on progress made and working with everyone, regardless of how they voted, to move Ward 1 forward. Now the real work begins. I'm ready to listen, to lead, and to deliver on the promises we made. Let's get to work, Danville, together, Jones said. Thomas Hightower is the new alderman for Ward 3, winning 62.4% of the vote and toppling incumbent Heidi Wilson. It's up to the citizens to make the change now. I just wanted to be a part of the solution. I wanted to play a big factor in making a brighter community for Danville, Hightower said. My vision has always been to be able to let the kids play, take your girlfriend on a walk, and be safe and secure. That's my vision. I'm going to do all I can to make it happen, he added. Ward 7's new alderman, James Doug Ahrens, also thanked those who elected him. I'd like to thank all of the residents and voters in Ward 7 for placing their confidence in me to take on this position for the City Council, and I look forward to serving them as well as the community overall in addressing some of the items that we share as common goals in the community, as well as finding ways to help improve our future, Aaron said. Council election results. In the City of Georgetown, Darren Radnour secured his place as mayor, narrowly beating challenger Darren Alexander by just 19 votes. The Commercial News was unable to reach Mayor Radnour for comment before print time. Hoopston has a new mayor in Tracy Carter, who beat incumbent Jeff Wise, winning 61% of the votes. I'm looking forward to seeing what changes we can make in our community, Carter said. As longtime mayor Mike Weiss is retiring this year, Westville has a new mayor in Troy Streben, who beat opponent Darren Troglia by 50 votes. Opponent Nick Pierce secured just 2.8% of the village's votes. Streben did not respond to requests for comment before print time. Final election results will not be certified until 14 days after the election per Illinois law, as mail-in ballots postmarked by April 1st continue to be counted. Next story is titled DACC Barbering Program Not Cutting Corners. Program off to a strong start with community engagement competition experience. And this is written by a staff reporter. Danville Area Community College's new barbering program, led by licensed instructor and experienced barber shop owner Terry Gord II, launched in January, and the program is already making a strong impact both in and out of the classroom. In February, students traveled to the DoubleTree Conference Center in Alsip to attend a professional barbering competition and expo. There, they observed top-level competitions on categories like fast fade, best design, and total look, attended educational classes, and explored the latest tools and products in the industry. One student, Danny Staple Butler, even competed with fellow student Pyro Harris, serving as her model. The program celebrated its grand opening by offering 63 free haircuts to the community members. 9 students provided haircuts for men, women, and children, gaining valuable hands-on experience while serving the community. We figured offering free haircuts to the community would be beneficial for the students as well as the community, Gord said. It helps students build clientele and gain confidence for their future in the barber industry. Gord's dedication in education and mentorship was recently recognized in the 59th annual Lincoln Douglas King Banquet held February 15th at New Life Church of Faith in Danville, where he received the Business Award for his commitment to training in the next generation of barbers at DACC. The barbering program is offering at DACC's Village Mall location is offered at DACC's Village Mall locations and features a modern classroom and a 14-station barber clinic open to the public. Students can pursue either a 2-semester certificate or a 4-semester associate in applied science, known as AAS degree. Classes run Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., with financial aid available and no prerequisites required. According to the Illinois Career Information System, barbering jobs are expected to grow by 7.5%, with many opportunities for self-employment. DACC's program prepares students with real-world experience, skills, and confidence to meet that demand. Students from the DACC barbering program are pictured with their instructor, Terry Gord II, center in the back, at a recent barbering competition and expo. And then there's another picture of Danny Staple Butler cuts the hair of model Pyro Harris at a professional barbering competition in February 2025. Butler is a student in DACC's barbering program. Next story is titled Somewhere Safe to Sleep. Danville Rescue opens emergency overnight shelter for men. And this is written by Kegla Wyatt again. After nearly a year of working to pay off debt accumulated by the previous board, making necessary renovations and securing insurance, Danville Rescue, formerly Vermilion County Restoration, was finally able to open its doors to unhoused men at their 213 North Bowman Avenue location on Monday. While the house on Bowman is intended to is intended for unhoused women. The organization is temporarily housing men in need of emergency overnight shelter while they continue to get the men's shelter to open. We were able to pay $8,580 for insurance to get this open. That's just the beginning. Besides our normal operating expense, we now have to add $2,500 a month for the insurance's monthly payment. It seems like a big amount, but nothing's impossible with God, Danville Rescue Board President Michael Ewing said. Despite these concerns, Ewing and the board decided to open the emergency overnight shelter Monday. Once we get this going, we can still find partnerships and sponsorships and some more funding. But we had to get it open, because otherwise, what are you funding if the doors aren't open? Ewing said. Fathers with children and transgender men are welcome to arrive at the shelter at 5 p.m. to be placed in rooms reserved for them. All others will be welcomed at 6 p.m. daily. Guests' belongings will be placed in tubs, which will be marked with their names and placed in a locked garage overnight to prevent theft or allegations of it. Guests will be able to get a good night's sleep and take a shower, but they must leave by 7 a.m. the following morning. Ultimately, Ewing said he hopes to provide programming for the men in the shelter each morning, including Bible study classes and self-awareness discussions to help those struggling with addiction. But for now, all they can provide is kindness, compassion, and a safe, warm place to sleep at night. Ewing said they will aim to provide guests at least one meal in the evening, but hopes it also provides them sort of sack breakfast depending on donations they received. We're not millionaires. We're not none of that. We are faith-walking people, and we trust in God that He's going to show us where to go, who to go to, and He's going to touch people's hearts, Ewing said. Donations may be mailed to P.O. Box 1485, Danville, Illinois, 61832, or dropped off at the shelter's thrift store located at 100 North Franklin Street in Danville. For more information, follow Danville Rescue on Facebook. And there's a couple pictures. There's a picture of Colts waiting for, I'm sorry, for unhoused men stand open at 213 North Bowman Avenue on March 31st. And then Danville Rescue President Michael Ewing holds his camera while broadcasting live Monday as a house volunteer checks on goulash he baked for his guests. There's just one obituary. Karen Sue Wynn passed away on Friday, March 28th at Springfield Memorial Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. She was born in Danville. A service to celebrate the life of Karen Wynn will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 5th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Burial will follow at Pleasant Grove Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 8:30 to 11 a.m. prior to the service on Saturday, also at Sunset in Danville. Memorials in her name may be made to the Wounded Warrior Project. Next story is titled Raber Portable Storage Barns Open New Locations in Tilton, and again written by Kayla White. Area residents in need of a barn or shed will soon be able to order them custom built or off the lot at Raber Portable Storage Barns in Tilton. The new Tilton location at 2019 Georgetown Road is the company's 10th location and its first in Illinois, with other locations across Indiana in Bloomington, Seymour, Vincennes, Spencer, Croydon, West, Lafayette, Sellersburg, and Kokomo. When owner Marvin Raber began looking for somewhere to open an Illinois location, Tilton office manager Sherry Atwood recommended to come check out Tilton, he said. Sherry called me and we came to Tilton and did a little bit of research and decided, yeah, this is a place to come, Raber said. The people are all friendly. The company pre-builds metal or wooden sheds, cabins, garages, playhouses, playsets, and barns in an assignment of designs. assortment of designs and styles. Customers can also choose to include an insulation package or electrical package if they intend to utilize the building for more than storage. They come in on a truck and trailer, and then we have our machine that would move around and put them in the yards, Raber said. For those looking for a custom build, Raber estimated delivery would be complete in 5 to 7 weeks, while on off-the-lot piece would be delivered in just 7 to 10 business days. The company also offers a rent-to-own option. Vermilion Advantage President Mike Moran and Tilton Mayor Bill Ware were in attendance at the ribbon-cutting ceremony Saturday, March 29th. Now, new in Tilton, new location Tilton at 2019 Georgetown. Pictured below is from left to right, Mayor Bill Ware, Raber Marketing Sales Manager Dylan Street, General Manager of the Tilton location Sherry Atwood, Ethan Raber, Owner Marvin Raber, and Vermilion Advantage President Mike Ron. And then there's a picture of Marvin Raber, second from the right, stands next to his son Ethan as he cuts the ribbon, officially opening the new Tilton location. So that's the pictures. Next story is titled DACC's College for Kids Returns, and this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. Danville Area Community College is once again offering College for Kids, a summer enrichment program. This year's lineup includes hands-on classes and sports campus for students entering third grade through high school. Enrollment opened April 1st, and spots fill up fast. From sports skills to welding, from robotics to rock band, there's something for everyone. All camps are designed to help kids learn something new, have fun, and get comfortable with a college campus setting, a news release states. Since 1980, College for Kids has been helping young learners explore new interests, challenge themselves, and enjoy a taste of college life in a supportive and engaging environment. All camps are held on DACC's campus and led by expert instructors or professionals in the field. To register, visit dacccommunityed.coursestorm.com. For questions, call DACC's Community Education at 217-554-1667. And then there's a list of all the classes. There's sports skills class held in Mary Miller Gym. There's volleyball camp from June 2nd to the 5th for grades 2nd through 5th grade from 8:30 to 10, and the cost is $50. Volleyball camp is from June 2nd for 6th to 8th grade from 10:30 to 2:30 for $65. Basketball camp is June 9th through 11th for grades 3 through 8 from 9 to 12 noon, and it's $75. Cheer camp is June 9th through 12th, ages 4 to 12, from 12:30 to 3:30, and $60 per camp includes a t-shirt, end-of-week performance, and optional camp bows. And then special interest camps, there's welding, there's Minecraft, there's Lego robotics, music mania, sports media, exploring STEM, first gig rock band camp, art studio 101, and children should be dropped off 10 minutes before the camp's start time at the camp location. No early drop-offs. Parents should be prompt with pickup. And there's a picture of Cheer Camp. It's just one of the options available at DACC's College for Kids this summer. Registration for activities is now open. Next story is titled Catlin Library Receives $10,000 Grant. Catlin Public Library District received a national grant for $10,000 to help the library provide services for residents with disabilities. The library was selected as one of 300 libraries to participate in round 3 of Libraries Transforming Small and Rural Communities, Accessible Small and Rural Communities, an American Library Association known as ALA initiative. The competitive grant will help the library provide two separate types of programs, programming for patrons with memory issues and programming for adults with intellectual disabilities. As part of this privately funded grant, library staff will take take online training, host conversation with library patrons, and use the grant funds to provide enriching and engaging programs. Library Director Kathleen Bennett said, "We are very thankful for the opportunity to expand the programming we offer for the community of people who live with memory loss and their caregivers, as well as the adults who have intellectual disabilities and their caregivers. This is a great example of the ALA positively impacting our community. Since 2014, the ALA's Libraries Transforming Communities initiative has reimagined the role libraries play in supporting communities. Libraries of all types have utilized free dialogue and deliberation training and resources to lead community and campus forums, take part in anti-violence activities, provide a space for residents to come together and discuss challenging topics, and have productive conversations with civic leaders, library trustees, and staff. Libraries Transforming Small and Rural Communities, Accessible Small and Rural Communities is an initiative of the ALA and the Associates for Rural and Small Libraries, known as ARSL. Those interested in getting involved, contact Kathleen Bennett at catlinlibrary03@yahoo.com or call 217-427-2550 for more information. We'll run through the community briefs now. Westville Library plans spring fun. U of I Extension's meal planning, grocery shopping, and goal setting program will take place April 28th at 11:30 a.m. at the Westville Public Library. Instruction ideas and funds are expected at this free program. Those attending will make stir fry while learning about healthy cooking. Call 217-267-3170 to reserve your spot before April 22nd. And fish fry plan. The Kingman Fire Department is sponsoring an all-you-can-eat Jonah Fish Fry Saturday, April 5th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the fire station at 16 East Vine Street in Kingman, Indiana. The meal includes fish, baked beans, slaw, applesauce, and drinks. The cost is $15 per person. Pie can be purchased for dessert at $3 per piece. And tenderloin dinner plan. VFW number 2395 in Covington, Indiana will again provide their popular tenderloin dinner on the first Friday of the month, April 4th, at the Post at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington, Indiana. Serving time is from 5:30 to 7 p.m. EDT time. The menu will include tenderloin, grilled or barbecued, on plate or in sandwich, baked beans, and fries. The price is $15 for the public and set $12 for veterans. Monies go to support community projects and sustain the Post. And vendor market set for May 3rd. Pratt's vendor market is planned for Saturday, May 3rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Ellsworth Park. The event is free and will feature more than 130 vendors, face painting, and more. And the lottery for the day, there's pick 3 midday 874, pick 4 midday 6922, lucky day 10, 21, 25, 31, and 40. The lotto jackpot pot is $5.3 million in Indiana. Daily 3 is 459, daily 4 midday 9984. Lotto jackpots $1.2 million, Powerball jackpots $30 million, and Mega Millions jackpot is $43 million. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. Looks like it's going to be a decent day. I guess a little rainy. We've been getting a little tornadoes and rain, and we did need the rain, so I guess we need it. So I don't like it because I'm in a wheelchair and it's hard for me, but anyway, we all need it. I think it's supposed to be decent this week. It's supposed to get a little bit warmer, so I'm liking that for sure. So I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. So take care. Have a good week. Bye.
Imprisonment with the possibility of the death penalty, prosecutors have said. Okay, that's about it for today. Thank you for listening to the commercial news. This is Kathy reading to you on Thursday, the 25th of March. Have a great weekend.